Welcome to the Brothers King podcast, where we review some of our favorite music and whatever else may happen to pop into our minds. My name is Samuel.
And I'm Solly.
And we'll be your hosts for this, the first ever podcast of ours. I am super excited. Been wanting to do this for years.
And so, I've just never been old enough to do it until now.
We're going to go ahead and the idea behind this podcast is, like I said, to review some of our favorite music. And we're going to start with my absolute favorite artist in the world, the David Crowder Band. Though I suppose they weren't always the. They started out as just David Crowder Band.
And well, didn't they start out as the UBC
Yes.
Band?
So that's what we're actually going to get to in a minute. They were originally the UBC, which was University Baptist Church Band. And they actually released two albums prior to getting signed to a record label. And that's kind of what we're going to talk about starting this out. So,
before we start, I do want to note that David Crowder Band is one of the greatest Christian artists, Christian bands, rather, in all of Christian music.
I mean, I try not to fanboy too hard. They are, like I said, they're my favorite artist. I like to judge music, secular, Christian, it's all even to me. So, as artists overall, I think they make amazing art.
Right.
So, and that's why I really, part of the reason I want to do this series, we might eventually get to other artists, I'm sure we will.
I'm sure.
But to start this out, we are going to start with their first two independent releases, when they were still known as the UBC Band, before they got picked up by a major label. The very first album, and I'm pulling for those that want to know, I'll give a little plug for DCB Plus. It's .weebly.com. It's a fan-made site that honestly has anything and everything you could hope to know about the David Crowder Band. And so I'm pulling a lot of my information from there tonight and other stuff. I also have read a lot of interviews and stuff throughout the years. So we'll be pulling stuff from there. So their very first project as the UBC Band was Pour Over Me. And they weren't the David Crowder Band or anything then. And according to this wiki, let me pull up the page here. Was you able to find that at all online, Solomon?
Which one?
The Pour Over Me album.
I found something, but it looked like it was a bunch of Asian people. that's usually what happens when something's not very popular. It pops up with a bunch of Asian people singing it or trying. That happens. It's a legit thing. I'm not making it up.
Okay, so this album, the reason why you can't find it anywhere is out of print. By out of print, I mean a record label never picked it up. It was never widely distributed. Honestly, they probably made, 1,000 copies tops, gave it to their church family and friends.
Right.
So, because for those that haven't caught on, the University Baptist, what is it?
It's the church, right?
University Baptist, I think it's church.
It could be congregation, we don't know.
I think it's church.
It's probably church.
They started as a worship band for the Bible University in Waco, Texas.
Waco. It's Waco,
it's
Texas.
Waco, Texas. I thought Waco.
And yes, that is how, should we mention?
Yeah, just like hop into whatever you want. We can pull.
Yeah, that's actually, David Crowder was the worship pastor. Pastor of musical studies or something. Or rather.
Do you remember where you read that?
It was on that website.
Okay.
It was on this website that my brother here just talked about. I'm not the smart one. Just want to let you know that. But that is where David Crowder started, along with his buddies Jack Parker and Mike Hogan.
Well, actually, in the first album, it was just called Pour Over Me by UBC Worship. The only two Crowder Band members in that were David Crowder Band and Jack Parker.
Right.
And I will go ahead and, while we're talking about the band members, throw out, because his name is in the front, David Crowder tends to get a lot of credit for the David Crowder Band's discography.
And okay, I'm an honest man. I tend to fanboy over Jack Parker. He doesn't get as much credit. He needs more credit. He is the glue that held the band together.
Well, he's the lead guitarist.
He is the lead guitarist. He is responsible for... I'm going to say he's responsible for 100% of the music, seeing that he taught David Crowder, who originally was only a pianist. He taught David Crowder how to play the beginnings of the guitar. So we are going to applaud silently for Jack Parker right now.
All right. So, well, beyond that, I won't give him 100% of their credit, but I will say, especially in their early albums.
Especially in the early albums. I'm not giving him... okay. Come on, man.
Okay. So,
it's Jack Parker. I have life-size pictures of him in my room.
He does not actually have life-size pictures. You don't know. Yet I've been in your room recently.
I hide them in my closet behind my mirror.
Moving on. So, Jack Parker, though, was very influential in their early albums, their first two albums particularly. Like I said, Pour Over Me, you can't find it anywhere on the internet. Right. It's non-existent.
Unless you think that Asians...
I didn't find the Asians. On YouTube, I did find the song, Pour Over Me. And it's just kind of meh. Nothing too interesting. So.
Right.
Responsible for their sound moving forward. But in their early days, yes, he was very responsible. And if you listen to any interviews, read anything about him in the early days, him and Crowder were both big fans of the Dave Matthews Band, which I'm sure if there's... Probably not a coincidence, Dave Crowder Band, Dave Matthews Band. Probably.
Coincidence? Asterisk? I think not. Hey. Asterisk.
So you can really hear the Dave Matthews Band influence in these first few albums, big time. You can hear it later, throughout their later albums, but really heavy in these first few albums. You can hear that sound.
Right.
So.
Which, let's describe this sound. It is the sound of worship music.
No, I would dare say the first couple albums did have, the two independent albums did have really bad, what I call cliche worship music. And I'm sure we'll hear plenty of my thoughts on modern worship music as time progresses. But the Dave Matthews sound is more of an indie alt-rock sound. I don't know. If you heard the band, you'd know exactly what I'm talking about. It's Jack's signature guitar sound.
Right.
That's very much Dave Matthews sound.
Yes.
Or Dave Matthews Band. So they did this first album. We really cannot find anything about it anywhere on the internet. I found like one song. And it was so wonderfully forgettable, I can't remember anything about it. Except for the title was Pour Over Me, and it was just okay.
Right. So. I do not even know what to say about that song, because I didn't even get a chance to hear it, so.
I will say, several of the songs on this first album were used in later albums. Come and Listen was at the beginning of A Collision. Because I'm pulling the track list from the wiki here.
Now, we're talking about...
The piano song right at the very beginning of A Collision.
Okay, we're talking about the Pour Over Me album?
Yes, this is okay. All songs all that right. Were later used. All
right.
Free the Awakening was released in Can You Hear Us as God of Creation. Only You, I Will Worship, later released in Illuminate as Only You. And Your Waterfall was later released in Can You Hear Me? Or Can You Hear Us, as My Hope, and You Alone was released through Easter eggs in the first three albums. So You Alone is like slightly legendary among David Crowder Band's discography, because the next album, like their first official release under record label, Six Step Records, was a hidden track at the end of the album, and you heard the end of the song. And then on the next album after that, Illuminate, in their notes, the liner notes on the pamphlet, there was a link to a website to go and listen to the middle of the song. And then on A Collision, there was another link hidden amongst all the words for the first part of the song.
Hmm.
But they did release a full version of the song on the Lime CD.
Oh, okay.
Which I personally really love the song, You Alone. So it's funny for their for the album that, according to this wiki, was so poorly made that the band generally refuses to acknowledge its existence.
Right.
They still had quite a handful of songs they used in their later albums, which I think is kind of cool. So that's that album. Honestly, I won't even give it a rating because there's nothing to listen to rate. It just, it exists. That's about all I can say about it. It does exist.
Or does it? Asterisk.
It exists. So that one does exist. And then next up, they released All I Can Say, still under the University Baptist Church, which I did find that here, label. And then it was eventually later re-released under the David Crowder Band label. Now, by the time they got to All I Can Say, a third member that was part of the long-term David Crowder Band lineup, Mike Hogan.
Right.
Which, what does Mike Hogan play?
Mike Hogan is, honestly, this is the secret, guys. This is the secret.
He is the secret weapon.
They say Jack, he is the secret weapon. That's what they call him, actually.
Yeah.
In one of the David Crowder Band rockumentaries.
Not Hogan.
Oh, they say about, okay, Jack. Maybe they...
That was a joke about Jack.
No. Well, I was pretty sure that...
Maybe we'll do a podcast just on the rockumentary.
Jokes the gland. jokes the gland. No, Jack's the glue that holds the band together.
Okay, Hogan.
I don't care if David Crowder Band said it. We're saying it now. Mike Hogan is the secret weapon. He plays...
The electric violin.
The electric violin through a guitar pedal board. I think he DJs a little bit.
He does play some wiggy.
And when they need him to, he plays guitar. He can play mandolin. He's done keyboard. Mike Hogan is the secret weapon. He gets very little credit. He gets even less credit than the rest of the band, including future members.
Yes, and it's kind of sad. Like, really, as a whole, I feel like that's what made the David Crowder Band so unique when they finally formed as a whole, was each member played their part, and they did it very well.
Now, jumping a little bit into the future, and I'm not going to get too sidetracked here, I do want to point out Mike Hogan is still accredited for a lot of the work on both the Crowder albums and the Digital Age albums.
Which those today are the groups that formed post
UBC / David Crowder Band. But I just wanted to throw that out here.
He does do a lot of violin work for them still.
He does a lot of stuff. I love you, Hogan.
Yeah.
A little bit less than Jack, but I love you. Close second, buddy. If you ever hear this, probably not. Hopefully someday you will.
So at this point, we now get to All I Can Say, which was the release that was deemed at least good enough for them to widely release to friends and family and later get re-released so we can actually listen to it. You can find it on YouTube or Spotify, take your pick, Apple Music.
Right.
All the fun streaming services. And on this album, I will go through a few of the credits on here, which I found interesting. So it was the executive producer was, help me say this name here. I'm afraid I'm going to mess it up.
Wasn't it Giglio?
Louis
Giglio.
Louis Giglio.
Who is the pastor of the UBC Church.
Is it UBC?
United Baptist, University Baptist Church.
Are you positive?
I am positive. I watch his creation talks all the time.
So he is also the person who started Six Step Records and, sadly enough, Passion.
Right.
The Passion Projects.
And also
not the Passion of the Christ, the Passion Music Projects, which were released
evenly. No, that definitely wasn't him. That was Mel Gibson.
We'll just walk away.
Yep. But let's also point out that he also tours every tour with Chris Tomlin.
What, Louis does?
Yep. They're best friends, yes.
Well, Chris Tomlin's on Six Step Records,
too. Well, the reason why he does is because
Chris Tomlin's the only thing keeping
Six Step Records. This podcast is not about Chris Tomlin.
Maybe eventually.
We'll see what happens. 30 seconds. anyway, the reason why Louis Giglio even tours with Chris Tomlin is because Chris Tomlin does How Great Is Our God, which is
modern hymn.
That's a modern hymn, but also kind of can pull into the creation side. That's the only reason I want to say, because I like Louis Giglio. He's a very, very studied creationist.
Well, he also has Six Step Records.
Right.
Which I would dare say Chris Tomlin's the only thing keeping Six Step Records going.
Right.
He's probably the only artist. I'm sure they have other artists that make sales, but he's like the only big name artist they have on that record label right now, I think.
Right.
So he's, pretty big deal. So Louis Giglio was the executive producer. The producer was Mitch Watkins, which I looked into him. He's actually a pretty big name guitarist.
He's played with people like Leonard Cohen, right?
Yes. Leonard Cohen is probably his... well, that's the biggest name I recognize.
Yeah.
He's been guitaring for forever, though.
Forever.
He is forever. And he actually produced a couple of Crowder Band's albums after this.
Yes.
So Mitch Watkins is the producer. And then as for the... as we already mentioned, the lineup thus far that was eventually the David Crowder Band, we had David Crowder himself... Jack Park, he played acoustic, lead vocals.
Right.
We had Jack Parker, lead guitar. And then Mike Hogan, I think he was only playing violin at this point.
Yes.
Let's see. Does it list
he
him?
May have been doing some synths.
Well, I'm trying to see.
Who knows what he's been doing? Like I said, he is their secret weapon, so that might be the only reason why they even got signed.
Well, I don't know if I'd go that
far. I'm not going that far. It's a joke. You can laugh, Samuel.
Uh-huh. Okay, regardless.
See, our camera guy's laughing.
And then, let's see.
I want real quick, just to throw credit out to my buddy, Chris McGee, because he's awesome, and he does his best not to make noise while we're making these podcasts.
He does the pictures.
He's our photographer / videographer. Future cinematographer.
Cinematographer. There you go. All right, but back.
Back on track. Back just to putting the credit where gravy. Credit is due. putting the gravy back on the biscuits.
All right, so we have Sean Skeen on bass. That name means nothing to me.
Yes, that name pretty much fell off the face of the earth after this.
I mean, I haven't looked him up. Maybe he's in something else.
Probably not.
Spencer.
He's the bassist.
Spencer. I mean, bass.
I'm joking. It's another joke. You can laugh. Lord.
Spencer,
I hope our podcasters are laughing.
Spencer Carlston on drums. And then only lists Mike Hogan here as just violin.
Sweet.
And then we have...
still did more than enough.
A name that did go a little bit far. Robbie C.
Robbie C.
He was the background vocalist on this.
It's either Robbie C or Robbie Say.
I'm pretty sure it's Robbie C.
It might be Say, though. Just saying.
So... moving.
just saying, get it? Robbie Say.
I didn't realize you were making a joke.
I'm the blonde one.
I just don't get sarcasm. Sarcasm's not my deal.
It was a joke. It wasn't even sarcasm.
It was a sarcastic joke.
Okay. I'm just going to stop joking. This point on, there will be no more funny from me.
There might be.
That was my only...
all right.
That's the only reason why I'm here. I don't even know nothing.
All right. And then additional musicians. So Robbie C, he was eventually the Robbie C Band. He wasn't the band. He obviously had a band. I think he pulled some inspiration from David Crowder Band.
Who pulled inspiration from Dave Matthews Band. What's next?
The...
No Name Band.
I don't know. The Donald Trump Band?
Oh, God. I love Donald Trump, but that would be the worst name ever.
You just lost half our podcasters right
there.
Hey,
I don't know about that.
let's just...
I love our president. I pray for our president. I love Barack Obama, too.
Okay, I'll accept that. At least you're not taking political sides.
I don't hate anyone. I love everyone.
Wow, that's very broad of you.
I do. I love you guys, our listeners, who probably will be very few. Which is okay, because I've screwed up so much on this podcast already.
It's okay.
I'm sorry.
All right, moving forward. And then additional musicians, Mitch Watkins played some guitar on here.
Yeah.
Pat Mastellato, drums and percussions, and Abra Moore, additional vocals.
Pat Mastellato. Is he Italian?
I have no idea. All right, so that's the that's the background, some of the credits on this album. Now let's go ahead and I guess jump into some of the tracks. Track number one, All I Can Say. It's a pretty good track.
It is.
I mean, it's actually I gotta go to David Crowder Band's final tour, the 7 tour. I had that opportunity, and it was the last song they played of the night.
Lucky, you're so lucky.
I know, right?
But I do need to make another confession. You did invite me to that, and I said no because at that point I didn't like David Crowder Band. And I didn't like David Crowder Band until after they disassembled, I guess is the way you would say it. They didn't technically break up. They just took a day of rest.
Yes, took rest. Which we'll get into the themes and stuff on their later albums. They did have a lot of very interesting themes on later albums, which is why they're one of my favorite bands. Next up, the songs just kind of go... In no particular, nothing particularly stands out to me. He Was There is very Dave Matthewson type song, if you've heard that at all. And then we have like Rain Down, which was released on Remedy later.
Right.
Rain Down. And then, I don't know, their song stands out to me except for maybe the Cry Mercy. Simply for the sake of it's probably the hardest song on this album. Later, they did rock out a bit more, but in these early albums, it was very rare for them to turn on the distortion too high.
Right.
So that song makes me happy inside. Other than that, though...
Taco Bell makes me happy inside.
Well...
Sorry, I'm just hungry.
It's good. Other than that, nothing too interesting. Do you have any comments about the song list or anything?
Honestly, I'm going to give them credit because I know what it's like to try to form a band and try to write music and try to...
I think at this point they weren't even trying to form a band. They were simply just doing worship music at their church and
having to record. That would make sense, and then their pastor picked them up. Lucky.
I don't know that... we'll get into that.
Well, if Louis Giglio owned Six Step Records...
I don't know if he was part of the church there, their church. He may have known them, but I don't know if he was like pastor of that church particularly.
Okay. From what I've heard recently, he is. But that may have been different then.
I mean, this was 1998. I failed to say this album was released in 1998.
And people eat Tide Pods now, so anything could happen. Anything could have changed.
Yeah, thank you for dating us, you know. But continue.
I don't eat Tide Pods.
I know.
I date us? Everybody, we're in the same year as you, just letting you know. We're not, like, back from the future.
I mean, but people could be listening to this podcast, you know, 5 years from now.
I want them to know. This is 2000 and... What is the year? 18.
2018.
Right.
I almost said 17.
Yeah, me too. But I just realized that I'm a freaking adult now.
Solomon.
I just cussed on our podcast.
Freaking is not a cuss word.
Okay, just making sure. This is a Christian audience, right?
I mean, I don't know many secular...
Okay, just list in your comments. Do you think freaking is a cuss word?
Hey, that could be an interesting...
That bit. Would be awesome.
But, I mean... What was I going to say? I just lost my train of thought. Oh, I don't know how much of a secular audience David Crowder Band pulled, quite honestly.
Probably not a very big one.
I know, like, I will have to double check when we get to the album, but I'm pretty sure the drummer from Jimmy Eat World played on Illuminate. So they had some fans.
That's a little awesome.
I mean, they were all Jimmy Eat World fans. Like, if you watch several videos, B-Wack, their drummer-to-be, wears Jimmy Eat World shirts all the time.
Right.
And they also borrowed some of that sound for some of their albums as well.
Yes.
So, any comment? Does any song stand out? Back to the matter of the gravy. Does any song stand out to you at all on this?
Honestly, I do. I like the two that are that made it. I like the Rain Down, which is later released as Remedy, or later released in Remedy, and I like Thank You for Hearing Me.
That one didn't make it into another album.
It made it to Can You Hear Us? Yes, it did.
Okay. Yeah. And which is their first album?
I'm gonna say, Come Thou Fount, which is their 34th track on.
That's not their 34th.
That is their 34th.
Come Thou Fount was number 8. They did an acoustic version of
Okay,
Come Thou Fount.
Okay, I'm thinking number 8. Whatever. That's a good song. Every time they've done that.
I mean, they don't do it a lot, but it's a very popular hymn.
They've done it in a couple of their albums.
Mm-mm.
They haven't?
Okay, here.
Okay, I don't care. Honestly, like, what else?
No, it's,
I just want to say Come Thou Fount is one of their good ones, even though
that's
they've
not only
theirs.
Done it in this album. This is the only album they've done Come Thou Fount in.
Now, it is funny to look at this and listen to this album, because hearing Crowder's music now, he sounds like he was like a little kid in this music. Not maybe not a little kid, but
his voice definitely
his voice was definitely higher pitched.
I mean, it's not
as matured. It's not as matured as it is now. Obviously,
it's not as dramatic though as like a Toby Mac in the early DC Talk albums, which we might get to DC Talk eventually. But
oh my goodness, oh,
his voice
man.
Sounded way worse when he was young.
Oh.
Just don't.
Oh my god, I'm not even. Oh. Yeah, no, I'm sorry. I don't even, no. Please, can we move? I don't want to think about it. It hurts.
Well, we will be forced to listen to that album when we cover DC Talk eventually.
Oh, no.
Eventually.
Do we have to cover DC Talk?
Maybe. I don't know. We'll get there. I mean, we still have to go through Crowder Band's whole entire discography.
Oh,
which
Lord.
There's still 6 albums, 6 EPs to go. Or 6 side projects.
Yeah.
So that's really all there is to say about this. All I can say about this album.
All I can say about this album is what like
it's
there
okay.
A rating? Are we going to give it a rating?
Yes, I definitely want to do a rating. I will say before I give it a rating, what it basically.
Oh Lord, your ratings.
Oh yes.
Okay.
But what basically this is a indie version. What this reminds me of is an indie version of Can You Hear Us?
Right.
That's what it basically reminds me
right.
of. I mean, different song structure list, but it's what if Can You Hear Us was an indie album?
Or just an acoustic album. I mean, I know that this album's not acoustic, but
it's
simplistic.
More acoustic-y. Yeah.
It's simplistic like an acoustic album. So let's just say either this is Can You Hear Us without the steroids.
I would say Can You Hear Us without a lot of the electronica.
Right.
Definitely. Without the studio polish.
Right.
There's not as much studio polish. Which, don't get me wrong, it's still a very well-produced album.
Yes.
Mitch Watkins did his job well. And he not only did he produce it, he also engineered it. And he gave it a very, I would say, like a kind of late 70s vibe to it.
Yes.
I did get kind of a late 70s vibe.
Kind of. Just a little bit. Now, I would be a little bit of an expert on that. A little bit.
Okay.
If we're talking like Cat Stevens acoustic with like maybe some Prince electric guitars in there. I don't. Is Prince even 70s? I don't think he's 70s.
I think he was more 70s.
He's like late 70s if anything.
Okay.
We'll just go there. But that's all I can say.
So as for rating, I like to be a bit unique and different. My rating is a 9-point rating system.
Weird.
I give it, so just so everyone knows how my 9-point system works, There's a potential 3 points for lyrics, potential 3 points for music, and a potential 3 points for how the album is cohesive and holds up overall as a piece of work. Because one of my big things about albums is I look at each album as a like you would a movie. I love just listening to albums from beginning to end and seeing what story they would tell me.
Right.
That's my favorite thing in the world. So, on a lyric level, honestly, I feel like their lyrics got so much better in the future. They're not bad here. They're just very standard worship.
Yeah.
The most creative ones, I would say, I liked the color song because I like color metaphors.
Yes.
Rich Mullins, The Color Green, is a very good example of that done very well.
You mean... No, oh, is it The Color Green?
Yeah.
I was thinking...
Not
Taste the Color Nine.
Oh no, that's a Chris Rice.
Chris Rice, yeah.
And that's not a color song.
Yeah,
that's
I was thinking something completely different. So sorry.
And then there's another one. What was that one about grass singing?
Do not know.
I believe it was Make a Joyful Noise. Let me see here. Yes, Make a Joyful Noise. That one really stood out to me lyrically as at least using some interesting metaphors for their worship.
Right.
Breaking outside of the, you know, we worship you, God formula, which I feel like a lot of modern worship is steeped in.
Right.
But the lyrics are still, I don't get, what did I say, a point and a half? I don't know if I,
yeah.
Well, I say a point and a half for, out of potentially three. For the music, or for the lyrics, because they get so much better later. The music is actually really solid. I would have been intrigued. Now, I would have been slightly intrigued if maybe they had released an EP or a portion of a later album in this exact style. Yeah. With their more money behind it and the studio right. polish, it could have sounded.
Yeah,
it would have been pretty cool. Yeah. The closest they got to that was Illuminate, which is another one of my favorite albums of theirs. I like a lot of their albums, but Illuminate was probably the closest they ever got to duplicating the sound. So it was a pretty good sound overall. So I give that a 2. So, and then how the album holds out overall, quite honestly, it's pretty forgettable for the most part. It's one of those albums I've listened to, I don't know. I haven't listened to as much as the other albums because I don't have them. I don't own them. Own this one because it was a later release and I don't know if it ever even got released physically.
Right.
So it never really sticks in my head. I've listened to it probably 10 times and I still have trouble remembering it just off the top of my head. So I would only give it probably a 1.5 as well for how well it holds up as an entire piece. Better yet, I'll say 1 for how well it holds up as an entire piece. So that gives me 4.5 out of 9. Alice raised it up to 5. I'll give it 1.5 for how well it holds up as a piece of art. So a total of 5 out of potentially 9 is what I give it.
I'm gonna give it. Lyrically, I can't say that the lyrics are great in this album. There's a couple songs they're okay in.
I mean, so, probably the best lyrically was Come Thou Fountain.
Yeah.
That's a classic hymn.
Right, so. And that's not even their song. So I'm going to give the lyrics a 1, just a 1. That's my biased opinion.
Okay.
I'm going to give that a 1. I'm going to give the music... I'm going to give the music a 2.
Okay.
And then I'm going to... Overall, as it holds up... I'm going to have to give it maybe... Maybe a 2.
So like 1.5, or are you going to go for 2?
I'm going to give it... Probably 1.5, so I'm going to give it about 4.5 rating.
4.5 out of 9.
Which, and if I'm going to round it, I'd have to round down. So I'd give it a 4.
That's fair. And I will say, at least when I rate music, I rate this, all music is equal to me. Like I said earlier, secular, Christian, it doesn't make a difference. Either your art is good or it's not.
Right.
I feel like Christian music shouldn't get a buyout for being its own genre.
Yeah. That's just against the amendment.
I
don't even know what the... I'm going to shut up because I don't know which amendment I'm talking about, but I do know that there's freedom of religion. So if you want to be a Christian artist, by God, be a Christian artist. If you want to be a secular artist, by yourself, be a secular artist. Because you can't do that by God. I don't know.
Wow. Okay.
I'm just talking.
Okay.
This is what a podcast is. Yes. You just speak your mind, and when there's nothing going on up there, what comes out just comes out. It just happens.
Oh. So.
I'm not stupid. I'm just an idiot.
It's all good. So, as I was saying,
I'll get better.
All music judged evenly. All art is art. I feel like it's a kind of a slap in the face to the artists who made this or any project to say,
right,
you get judged differently because you're Christian music. Just judging against everything.
Right.
I still give it a pretty good 5. I would still say 5. You still say 4?
Nah, I'm going to give it a 4. Just I'm not judging it because it's Christian, but if we're going to judge it with secular, I'm going to have to give it a 4.
Fair enough.
Just because this, we got to realize this is their kickoff. This is their start. Later
and
on,
only 3 of the members, so.
Yeah, it's only 3 of the members, and you got to realize that music is always about the band. You got to have a good chemistry. It just, that's how it happens.
I mean, I would argue that it depends on the project because your producer can have a big, big say. Like, if we ever get around to, like, talking about Third Day, their second album was so heavily influenced by their producer.
Right.
Like, that made all the difference in the world. So, and, like, Amy Grant, she is just nothing but the brainchild of a couple of producers.
Right.
So, at least her early music is what I mean.
Right.
So, producers have a big say in it. What your record label wants you to do has a big say in it. Also, who your songwriter is can have a big say in stuff.
Right.
For people who have their songs written by other people.
Mm.
But overall, you're right. The band can make or break a project.
Oh, so therefore, since they aren't rated very high right now, can Jack really be the glue that holds the band together? Oh.
I guess not.
A question.
I mean, you can definitely
time.
Hear it's... This is probably the project I would argue he's influenced the most.
Right, right. And
he had the most musical influence.
I'm going to say, if we're talking consistency here, he blows my mind every time I hear him play guitar. Just saying. It's like Neil Sean and Jimi Hendrix had a baby.
That's very high praise. Very high praise. All right, so any closing thoughts on this album? Before we close this out, next week, any closing thoughts on the album?
Not really.
Cool. So next, hopefully next week, it's going to take me a minute to splice up this podcast and get it fit up. And then next time we get together, I'm hoping next Friday, we'll do Can You Hear Us, the first official album after David Crowder Band was signed to the record label, Six Step Records. We'll get into all that. So with that said, once again, my name is Samuel.
My name is Solomon. And that's all we can say about David Crowder Band's All I Can Say. Hope you click to hear us next time for Can You Hear Us?
Oh, also on a side note, if you would like to contact us with any comments, questions, concerns, or overwhelming needs to yodel, we do have an email. Give me just a moment here while I pull it up, because I just created the email specifically for this and I don't use it on a regular basis. That is to say, I will be checking it for anyone that contacts me via it.
Also, I manage our social accounts and that will also be posted.
So the email is brotherskingmusic@zoho.com.
That is BrotherskingMusic at, which you have to hit the shift space and then hit 2, unless you're using your phone. There's an at sign. ZOHO.COM. That's Brothers King Music at Zoho.com.
And also look for us on social media. We'll be creating a Pinterest account.
No, we are not.
We're not Pinterest.
It's called Instagram.
Instagram.
Pinterest.
YouTube account.
My brother is so... He is so out of the loop.
All right.
He still lives in 1984 or something like that.
We'll be talking to you guys all next week. Peace out.